Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. It is worthy of note that Jesus does not ask of us things that he does not do himself. The previous passage, that from what we're looking at this evening, Jesus rebuked his disciples to some degree, because they were wrestling to see who was going to be the greatest. They were wrestling to see who was going to have the chief seat. But Jesus tells them that that is not the way it is in his kingdom. That it is the one that serves is going to be the greatest. The one that humbles himself and takes care of those that are struggling will be the one that is most deserving. The passage that we're looking at tonight in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 and following, is one where Jesus puts that into practice. Where a blind man who today we may think, oh, well, that's someone who needs our assistance and we have laws in place to help. Well, in those days, they had to fend for themselves and subsist upon the mercy of others. But Jesus goes and serves the blind man. Goes and helps the one who is helpless. And so we're looking at Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And he immediately received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So when we look at this story, we have to look at what is going on, what is taking place in the narrative, so that we might understand and then learn some lessons from what Jesus is saying to us. So when you consider this, you have to keep in mind what Jesus was doing and saying to the disciples before. He was teaching them a lesson that it is so difficult to learn. And that is, if you want to be the best, if you want to be great at something, well, Jesus says to humble yourself, to serve others, to put yourself below others. And in doing so, God will raise you up. And so Jesus is going to put this into practice. And so it says here he came to Jericho. And as he exits Jericho with his disciples, there's a great number of people that have gathered around him because of all the miracles that he performs, because of all the teaching that he gives. Now, I want to give note here that there are parallel accounts of this in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us that Jesus is entering Jericho when he performs the miracle, whereas in Matthew and Mark, it says he's leaving Jericho. In Luke, we're told there is one man, but no name is given, whereas in Mark, we're told there is one man, and it's Bartimaeus, and in Matthew, it's two men, but no names are mentioned. Well, how do we reconcile these differences? Is there some error that's taking place or some contradiction? Well, I don't believe that there is. One of the things you have to do is you need to study and you need to understand even the geography of what we're talking about. So if we were talking about Harrogate and we say, I went up to Ripon, well, you'd understand we went north to Ripon. If I went down to Leeds, you'd understand we went south to Leeds. Well, in the Bible, it's frequently said they went up to Jerusalem. Well, it doesn't matter if they were north, south, east, or west. From Jerusalem, they always go up to Jerusalem. The reason is because Jerusalem's on a hill. So you're always going up. So you understand the geography. Well, with Jericho, there were actually two Jerichos. there was the ruins of the old Jericho, the ruins of the Jericho that we think of when Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls fell down. There is that Jericho, and the ruins are still there. No man goes there. And then there is a second Jericho. There's a second Jericho that was founded upon the death of the man's son and the death of his second son, but they built the city away from the original ruins. And when they built the city, they called it Jericho. But you could literally go from Jericho, exit Jericho, and enter Jericho, even though you were still continuing on your journey. So there's actually two Jerichos that are separated by a short stretch of road. The other thing you have to consider is that each of the gospel writers tells us the narrative from their perspective, from how they see things, from how they hear things. Even in the simple messages that I bring, each one of you hears something different. Something stands out to you, and something stands out to someone else. It may be the same thing, it may be a different thing. But you may go away thinking, well, Chuck was preaching about this tonight. Someone else may go away thinking, Chuck was preaching about this tonight, when in fact I've been preaching about both. But each of you latched on to one particular thing in your mind. And this is the same thing that happens in the Gospels. It's quite possible, we don't know, but it's quite possible that Bartimaeus kept following Jesus for quite some time so that the disciples learned who he was, learned more about him, got to know him. It's possible that he was involved in the church in Jerusalem later on. And so Mark and Luke, when they write, they think of Bartimaeus in this situation. Well, Matthew, he saw it from a different perspective. Maybe he was a little farther away. Maybe he never really made friends with Bartimaeus. Maybe they didn't click. And he thinks, you know what, there were two guys there. But Mark and Luke can't even remember that there was a second guy there. We're not sure exactly, but in any case, the gospel writers are accurate. So we have Jesus going into Jericho. And as he exits Jericho, a great number of people have gathered together. And there is a blind man named Bartimaeus, who is sat by the highway begging. Now, I mentioned it in the introduction, but there was no help for those with a disability in the days of Christ. There was no welfare system. There was no state or government that took care of those that were injured. If you were lame, if you couldn't walk, that's on you. Whether your family might take care of you, or whether your family is going to kick you to the curb and you have to fend for yourself. The only way you could really fend for yourself is to beg. Well, this is true of blind men as well. From those who have no hearing, those who have no sight, those that are lame, those that have some form of a disease, you are on your own. And so it was customary to see a lot of beggars. Now, we think of beggars today and we're cynical. And we think, oh, they could get up and they can work. And or the society that we live in is going to take care of them. That may or may not be the case. In the days of Christ, though, it was common to see beggars, and it was common to help the beggar, because you understood that there was no other help to be had. There was no other way to exist but by that help. And so he is there hoping that on the kindness of others that he may have something to live by. Bartimaeus actually means the son of Timaeus, or the son of the highly prized one, the son of the honored one. And you can think what you may about Timaeus, because his son is out begging. We don't know what has happened there. So Bartimaeus is sitting there and he's begging. He's hoping that someone is going to give him money, and he hears a crowd. And you can imagine in the mind of a beggar, in the mind of someone who needs help, what a crowd means. It means more foot traffic, more possibility that someone is going to give you something to help. So Bartimaeus says, well, what's going on? And the people say, oh, it's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Well, Bartimaeus no longer thinks about the money that he could get. He no longer thinks about the financial aspect of things, and he starts to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, he's not crying that out because he's wanting money. He's not crying that out because he thinks Jesus is wealthy. He's not crying out because of some need to be loved. He's crying out because he wants something specific. And we'll be looking at that in just a moment. The people who are gathered there, that are thronging around Jesus, they try and quiet him down. They try and say, stop talking. Be quiet. We don't want you crying out. We want to hear Jesus. Maybe Jesus is going to say something. If we were in the crowd, we would probably say something similar. Say, don't stop making such a ruckus. We want to hear what Jesus says. We don't want to hear you, Bartimaeus. We want to hear Christ. But Bartimaeus, when he hears them trying to quiet him down, he cries out louder. He cries out louder and says, Jesus, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Now Jesus, whether he's hearing the shouts of Bartimaeus, whether he's hearing the requests of those around Bartimaeus, asking Bartimaeus to stop talking, or whether it's through his knowledge as God, he is aware of Bartimaeus and Bartimaeus' desire for Jesus. And so he stops walking. And he tells the people around him, tell Bartimaeus to come here. Tell Bartimaeus to come to me. And so then the very people that were asking Bartimaeus to be quiet now tell him to be comforted, because Jesus wants to talk to him. And most likely they help him get up and walk him to Jesus. Now Bartimaeus, in his desire and haste, what does he do? It says he casts away his garment. Now we don't know whether this is his cloak that he was wearing, or whether it's the blanket or cloak that he had put out in front of him to collect the money on. You know, because whenever you go by a beggar, what do they have in front of them? Something for you to put money in. But he casts whatever it is aside. He doesn't care about it anymore, because he's going to go face to face with Jesus. And that's of more importance to him than anything else. And so when he comes to face to face with Jesus, Jesus asks him, what do you want? Now, this seems to be a bit of a strange request. Isn't it clear what he wants? He's blind. But Jesus says, Bartimaeus, what do you want? And he responds with the one thing that was upon his mind every single day, that he would receive his sight, the ability to see. Now, we're not told whether Bartimaeus was blind from birth, but the way it's said there in the Greek would lend you to think that, yes, he was blind from birth, that he would receive his sight, not that he would have his ability to see restored, not that it would be restored to him, but that he would receive it the first time. And Jesus tells him to go his way because his faith has made him whole. And I need to stop and caution here, because Jesus states that his faith has made him whole. And there are many that will preach from this passage of Scripture things that are not scriptural or biblical. There were some that would teach that if you have enough faith, anything can be yours. Any healing can be yours, any monetary gift can be yours. Anything that you might want. There are a lot of prosperity preachers and faith healers that teach these things. Now, if this was true, then no one would suffer. There would be no suffering in the world, would there? There would be no pain or discomfort. If it was my faith, my belief that made me whole, in the sense of way they preach it, then I'd be whole. I wouldn't have to worry about headaches. I wouldn't have to worry about my tooth coming out or anything like that. I would be suddenly whole. The problem arising from such a claim is that enough faith can give you anything. That faith is the object of the faith. You understand what I'm trying to say? If my faith is strong enough, then what becomes the object of my faith? My faith does. I'm so confident in my faith that it's going to happen. No. Where was Bartimaeus' faith? It was in Jesus Christ. It wasn't in how strong his faith was. It was in the Son of God. That's where faith has to be placed. And so, in that sense, did his faith make him whole? Sure, because it was placed in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one who made him whole, not Bartimaeus himself. There's too many that speak about things where they don't know. Faith is critical, but it is only critical if it is placed in the one person, and that is Jesus Christ. And it is placed in what he has said according to his word. Now, Bartimaeus stood face to face with Jesus. And when Jesus says, "What do you want?" he said, I want to have sight." Now, I'm not standing face to face with Jesus. So how do I pray? What is my faith based upon? His Word. What He has said. What He has done. I have no way to say I have faith that my headaches will be gone. I have faith that no matter what, if my headaches are gone or my headaches are not gone, God is going to give me strength to get through. Because His Word promises me that. But I don't have any faith, any way to say I have faith that it's going to be taken away, because He doesn't promise me that. He promises me His peace. He promises me His strength. And we'll notice that a bit more in a minute. Well, immediately, Bartimaeus is able to see. His eyes are opened. But there's more than just sight that he's given. Because think about this for a moment. Bartimaeus has not been able to see. Most likely from birth, he has not been able to see. And so, he can't see anything. And now, all of a sudden, his eyes are opened. And what does he see? How would he know what he would see? How would he know there's a color green as opposed to a color red or a color blue? He would never experience those things before, would he? He would be able to hear what people tell him. He would be able to feel objects. But how would he be able to see an object and place a name to it? He wouldn't be able to. But Jesus says something to Bartimaeus that sometimes we miss. Not only did Bartimaeus receive sight, he received knowledge. He received the knowledge necessary to go with his sight. That's something that no one else can give. So there are people today that are working on eyes so that someone can see again. They're working on people's ears so they can hear again. But they can't work on the knowledge to go with those things. Because only Jesus can do that. Because when Bartimaeus' eyes were opened, he was whole. He understood that the grass was green. He understood that the sky was blue. He understood that it was Jesus talking to him. He understood. If his mother or father came along, he'd be able to recognize them because he was whole. And that's what Jesus does. It's not part way, it's all the way. And then one thing further to note, what does Bartimaeus do? Jesus says, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." What does Bartimaeus do? He receives his sight. The Bible tells us immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He followed Jesus. He didn't want to go anywhere else. He didn't want to go back and find his cloak and pick up his money. He didn't want to go tell other people about what Jesus had done. He wanted to follow Jesus first and foremost. And so I want us to learn three lessons from this narrative of Bartimaeus. And there are many more lessons I'm sure that you can learn, but these are the three that really stood out to me. Number one, never let anybody or anything stand in your way or stop you from coming to Jesus. You see, Bartimaeus had people that were around him. They were probably there to see Jesus. But what did they try and do? They tried to just quiet Bartimaeus down. They tried to keep him quiet so they could see Jesus. So they could hear Jesus. And Bartimaeus said, "I'm not having any of that." And when he heard them say, "Stop talking," he cried out even louder to see Jesus. To come before him. To have time with Jesus. You see, there are many people in this world who will do their best to try and stop you from coming to Jesus. Now, they may be doing it for selfish reasons. They may be doing it from a motive of love for you, because they may think it's strange to love Jesus. There are all sorts of pressures that will come upon you in life that will try and take you away from Jesus. But the lesson of Bartimaeus is don't let anybody or anything stop you from coming to Jesus. Doesn't matter if they're doing it out of a concern for you. My wife's mother thought she had joined a cult and didn't want her to keep going to church. Doesn't matter what other people think. What's the important thing? It's you and Jesus. That's the important thing. That's the most important thing. And Bartimaeus understood it. And he said, "Oh, you want me to stop talking? I'm going to cry out louder. I'm going to shout as loud as I possibly can shout until I'm standing before Jesus." Doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to keep crying out until I'm standing before Jesus. Now, I don't want you to think negatively towards people who may speak contrary to you coming to Christ, to coming in faith. They may have genuine motives. But I'll say this to you, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Because the most important thing in your life is to come to Jesus. Cry out more. Don't let them stand between you and Him. It is the most important thing in your life to come face to face with Jesus Christ. You will either do it in this life, or you'll do it in the next. The second lesson I would give you is to bring your greatest concern to Jesus. Bring the biggest thing on your mind. Now, Bartimaeus, what was the greatest concern he had? The fact that he was blind. It was the fact that he was blind, that he couldn't see. Every day he woke up, he opened his eyes, blackness. He couldn't see. He needed somebody to help him do something. Maybe he had somebody for a little bit, maybe he didn't. But clearly, he needed support. So Bartimaeus goes to Jesus so that he could see. Did Bartimaeus have something which should have concerned him more than his sight? I would say that he did. At the moment, when he's crying out for Jesus, he probably didn't realize it. But there was something greater in his life than his inability to see. It was his sin. His sin would be the greatest concern. Now, when you consider that Jesus healed him and gave him his sight and made him whole, do you think it included forgiveness? I would say that it did. I would say he forgave his sin. And as Bartimaeus followed Jesus, why did he follow him? Because he had a love for him. Because of what Jesus had done for him. And as he follows him, he learns of Jesus. And he grows in faith and understanding. So what is your greatest concern? It could be the health of a loved one. It could be your own health. It could be your financial situation. It could be the growth and maturity of your children. It could be the political situation of the nation. You can name anything, and it's upon somebody's mind, and it consumes them. But I would tell you that what your greatest concern should be. It should be the state of your soul before God. It should always be the greatest concern. You know, society today tries to drag us away from the understanding that we're all going to die. It tries to drag us away from that reality so that we don't think about it. Let's not focus upon it. But the reality is we all will die unless Jesus returns first. Regardless, John 3 tells us we will all stand before the judgment seat of God one day. Every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat. The book of Revelation tells us that at that seat the books will be opened. And the books detail everything we've ever done. Every action we've ever taken. Every time we didn't act when we should have acted. And throughout all those books, there's going to be one book set to the side called the Lamb's Book of Life. And anybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be judged out of all the other books. All on their actions. Now, unfortunately, the book of Romans, the book of Isaiah, clearly tell us that every single one of our deeds, everything that we think is good, the Bible tells us that in God's sight is as a filthy rag, because it is not done for His glory. So all of these things in the books are filthy rags. We're not going to come out good in that judgment. The only way to stand before God, to enter into life eternal, is to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's it. How is your name written there? The same way that Bartimaeus' name was written there. It's crying out to Jesus Christ. Crying out to Him to forgive you. Crying out and keep crying out until He does. Don't stop. Don't let anybody get in the way. Cry out to Him for the most important thing you can possibly imagine. The third lesson is, when you see clearly, we sing that song, Amazing Grace. Once I was blind, but now I see. When you see clearly, follow Jesus. It's the most important thing to do. When you see clearly, follow Jesus. Bartimaeus, when Bartimaeus was there before Jesus, He says that, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus says, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way. And Bartimaeus, once he sees, what does he think? Well, my way is his way. Wherever he goes is where I go. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow the one that made me whole. I'm going to trust Christ for the after as well as for the sin. We don't read that he went back to collect the money from his blanket or his cloak or whatever it may have been. We don't read that he went to look for his family. He immediately, upon receiving his sight, followed Jesus. Well, how do we do that? Well, first, it's trusting Christ as our Savior. First, it's coming to him, just as Bartimaeus did, and asking for the forgiveness of our sins. But then, we continue to follow. How? Well, we pray. According to knowledge. How do you gain knowledge about Jesus Christ, about who God is? Well, you read and study God's Word. You do your best in understanding and you follow what you understand. You trust him in all aspects of your life, not just a bit, but all. You fellowship with God's people who are endeavoring to accomplish the same thing that Bartimaeus was endeavoring to accomplish, to follow Jesus, to follow him. That's the lessons that I see from Bartimaeus. It's first, don't let anybody stop you. It doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter what they are, doesn't matter what it is. Go to Jesus. Seek him out. Seek his face. And then when you find him, ask him for the most important thing. The most important thing, I got to tell you, is not health, because your health will fail. It's not wealth, because wealth will disappear. It's not pleasure. It's going to fade away. What is it? It is the forgiveness of sin. Because with the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life with him. It's the most important thing. And when you have that important thing, what do? The same thing that Bartimaeus did. You follow Jesus. And you keep following Jesus all the days of your life. How do you do it? You pray. You study God's Word. You fellowship with God's people. You endeavor to look to Christ and not to yourself. And all of this is surrounded by this idea that Jesus said to his disciples, you're going to be a servant. Because that's what Jesus says to Bartimaeus. No one else would have thought, oh, let's go talk to Bartimaeus. Let's go talk to the blind man. Because they thought, the blind man can't do anything for us. But Jesus, he says, no, bring them to me. Bring Bartimaeus to me. Because he's valuable. And he heals him. And he makes him whole. He forgives his sin. And Bartimaeus follows. It's the same thing that we ought to do. It's the same thing that we ought to cry out day after day. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to follow, help me to follow. Lord, help me to understand, help me to see, help me to hear. Give me ears to hear your word, give me eyes to see you, and give me feet to follow you. That ought to be our cry each and every day. We point you to the Savior. Amen.